الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading in the chapter استقامة القلب the steadfastness and uprightness of the heart the author he mentioned حفظه الله تعالى والدنيا دار ابتلاء وامتحان that this worldly life is a place of trials and tribulations it's a test and this life وَالْمُوَفَّقُ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَنْ يَمْضِي فِي دُنْيَاهُ عَلَى الْاسْتِخَامَةِ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَمْضِي فِي دُنْيَاهُ عَلَى الْاسْتِخَامَةِ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ So this worldly life is a place of trials and tests, tribulations, and the truly successful among the servants of Allah are those who proceed through their worldly life with steadfastness in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الدنيا حلوة خاضرة and indeed the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said إن الدنيا حلوة خاضرة that indeed this worldly life is sweet and green and is sweet and delightful for the taste and also pleasant and green and pleasant fresh for the eyes pleasant for the eyes, meaning that this is the parable of this life, that is something sweet and delightful and likewise pleasant and good and also it doesn't last as well, rather it goes away quickly. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفُكُمْ فِيهَا And indeed Allah, He has granted you authority in the land and He placed you in the land and given you authority and senses and the likes to try you and to test you with. فَيَنْظُرُ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ So therefore He will look to see what you do. يعني أبي طاعة الله تعملون أم بمعصيته سبحانه وتعالى Meaning, are you going to work in his obedience سبحانه وتعالى or are you going to work in his disobedience So now the advice comes from the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم فاتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء So therefore fear the dunya and fear the women What is intended here? Fear the dunya and fear the women يعني فاتقوا فتنة الدنيا وفتنة النساء فاتقوا فتنة الدنيا واتقوا فتنة النساء So you fear the trials and tribulations of the worldly life and fear the trials and tribulations with regards to women meaning there are lusts and desires a person is tried with and pleasures one he hopes to partake in related to the worldly affairs and from the worldly affairs are women with the women are mentioned specifically after mentioning the general warning from the trials of the worldly life. This is in order to clarify the great dangers and trials that come along by way of women. Rather, they're at the head of the desires and the temptations that the people lust and love and are tried with. The people lust and love are tried with. Many times, likewise, these women and the likes will be the reason for people to have envy and hatred and animosity and hardship. And to vie and rival with one another, and fight with one another over women, and also trying to please the women and keep the women and the likes like this. فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ فِتْنَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءِ Indeed, the first fitna, the first trials and tribulations that befell the children of Israel was with regards to the women. So we know that the children of Israel, they were tried with many trials. And it led them away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla until they earned the anger of Allah. And now they are known as al-maghdub alayhim. Al-maghdubu alayhim. Those who earn the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing us of the first thing that they were tried with to lead them to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla was the trials related to women. So therefore the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they're warned from this affair to take great precaution from the temptations and trials related to women specifically into the worldly life. In general. So the author is closing this chapter now with the discussion of the affair known as Zuhud. Zuhud means asceticism, or it means to renounce the worldly life, or to turn away from the worldly life, And many people, they have misunderstood this term. And we have discussed before that there are many terms, legislative terms, praiseworthy terms in the Quran, in the Sunnah, in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and each one they have a specific meaning. But in general, they all have the same understanding. they all have the same understanding, like al-Islam and al-Iman and al-Ihsan, and like al-Taqwa and al-Ibadah and Tawheed, and like al-Istiqama and like al-Zuhud and al-Wara' and the likes like these. These terms, they each have a specific meaning. But in general, these are terms that include the entire religion. So to summarize, al-Zuhud, which means to renounce the worldly life or to turn away from the worldly life, the reality of this lies in establishing the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions. Lies in establishing the commandments properly and the manner prescribed daily, and avoiding the prohibitions entirely and leaving them and turning away from them. So az-zuhud is not simply to turn away from the worldly life and not have luxurious vehicles or luxurious home or luxurious furniture and the likes like this. This is from the aspect of that, but the foundation and the reality of that begins in establishing the commandments, hoping for the reward of Allah, and leaving the prohibitions and turning away from that which is forbidden out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, out of fear and reverence for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is the zahid. This is the person who's turning away from the dunya, meaning he's not tried by the dunya. It doesn't preoccupy him from his obligations and duties that are upon him, and it does not cause him or lure him or lead him to violate the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. It doesn't lure him or incline him to violate the rights of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Rather, he's advancing upon Allah in obedience to Him and humble submission, performing the commandments in the best manner he can, seeking forgiveness for his shortcomings, and striving with his utmost effort to avoid and stay away from that which is forbidden. So this is zuhd. Many times the word zuhd, it'll be mentioned along with al-wara'. There's some terms that come mentioned together, like al-birr wa taqwa, what Islam, what Iman, and the likes like this. And each one they have a specific meaning. Whenever they're mentioned together, whenever they're separated, they include the other meaning. And this issue has proceeded in previous classes, alhamdulillah. So we have the issue of az-zuhud and al-wara'. Az-zuhud means asceticism, or to renounce, to turn away from the worldly life. And we see now the reality of that, what is intended from that, the basis of that, the foundations of that. Then if a person, he strives on that path as well, leaving off the affairs of the worldly life and not having concern for that and being content with that which will suffice him and the likes like this, alhamdulillah, this is good. But the point to make is that just that a person, he can be zahid, he can be someone who's renouncing the worldly life and he can still partake in the worldly life and that which is lawful and that which is good. He can have a nice stove on, he can have nice shoes, a nice vehicle, for example. This doesn't mean he's not turning away from the worldly life. So it goes back to that which is in the heart. No doubt there are limits there. You'll not find somebody who's renouncing the worldly life going to extremes and extravagance and the likes like this. But he can have nice clothing or expensive clothing. We've seen before examples of that. Tamim al-Dari, radiallahu anhu, is mentioned that in Ramadan he would lead the Taraweeh prayer and he would wear a garment that was over 1,000 dinar. That's over 1,000 dinar, very expensive garment and a very expensive thobe that he had purchased, and he would wear it whenever he's leading the salat. And likewise, Imam Malik, it's known about him, rahimahullah, whenever he would come out of his home to narrate and to teach the people. When the Prophet's masjid, alayhi salatu wasalam, he wore the best clothing and the best turban and the likes like this, and the best head garment and the best clothing, and come out in a very presentable and nice manner and sit down and teach the people the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, it's known the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took a specific thobe that he would wear on certain occasions whenever the delegations would come from out of town, and he would meet them and teach them and the likes like this, and greet them and accept their allegiance. And likewise for the Jumu'ah, for the Eid, so on and so forth. So we don't want to be confused about this affair. The foundation lies in establishing the rights of al-Islam. And then after that, to turn away from what one turns away from the worldly life, alhamdulillah. But even then, the one who is truly zahid, he's going to, whatever he has from the worldly life, he will use that in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal to seek the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So maybe he'll have wealth, but he's not attached to it. And he's not inclined toward it. And he's not ran by it. He's not controlled by it. He's not lusting for it. He's not driven by the dollar. He's driven by his love for Allah and hoping for his reward and mercy, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and seeking his pleasure. Therefore, the dollar that he has, he will use that in that pathway. And he will use that in a good manner, pleasing to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So the word is zuhd. Here it means asceticism, or it means the renunciation of the worldly life, turning away from the worldly life. The word al-wara', it means piety.
The word al-wara' means piety. But many times it's in reference to a type of piety that will carry a person to leave off anything that's doubtful or anything that's suspicious, or just to avoid anything that will harm a person's religion and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the work Madarij al-Salikin by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he transmitted a statement from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his interpretation of the word zuhd wal wara'. And we take these interpretations now before we continue reading to have an understanding of this issue bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So he says, سَمِعْتُ شَيْخَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِبْنَ تَيْمِيَةَ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ. He said, I heard شَيْخَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِبْنَ تَيْمِيَةَ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ saying, الزُّهْدُ تَرْكُ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. That الزُّهْد, asceticism, or a renunciation of the worldly life, الزُّهْد is to leave off that which is not beneficial. To leave off that which is not beneficial in the hereafter. And anything that will not be beneficial for a person in the hereafter from a zuhd is to leave that off. Is to leave that off and to turn away from that and to abandon it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Anything that is not beneficial for a person's hereafter, anything that will not draw him closer to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal from a zuhd is to leave that and to abandon it. Is to leave that and to abandon it. So this is the high level. So at the head of that, or the base of that, is as has preceded establishing the obligations and staying away from and avoiding the prohibitions. Establishing the obligations and staying away from and avoiding the prohibitions. And after that, there's a field to compete in. And avoiding and leaving off anything that will not benefit a person's hereafter and draw him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَالْوَرَعَ تَرْكُ مَا يَخَافُ ضَرَرُهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And al-wara', piety, it means to leave off that which one fears may harm him in the hereafter. To leave off that which one fears may harm him in the hereafter. So a zuhd is to leave off that which will not benefit in the hereafter. And al-wara' is to leave off that which one fears may harm him in the hereafter. May harm him in the hereafter. Ibn Qayyim, he comments now, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَهَذِهِ عَلِبَارَ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ مَا قِيلَ فِي الزُهْدِ وَالْوَرَعِ وَأَجْمَعِهَا. That this statement here is from the best and most concise interpretation of what has been mentioned, and from the people of knowledge with regards to the meanings of الزُهْد and الْوَرَعِ. الزُهْد and الْوَرَعِ. So الزُهْد, again, is to leave off anything that will not benefit a person in the hereafter. And al-wara' is to leave off that which one fears may harm him in the hereafter. So now the question arises, and we say, which one is greater, or which one is higher? Which one is superior? You say zuhd, Abu Wa'il, he says zuhd. Abu Salah, he says, Wara. Rutu, he says, Zuhd. Diallo? Al Wara. Al Zuhd. Ibrahim. You said, Sheikh Shams. Al Wara. Okay, let's think about it. We have to reflect on this in fear. To leave off that which will not bring any benefit in the hereafter. What does that include? Mubahat, things that are permissible. For example, it's permissible for him to scroll on the internet looking at lawful things. For example, reading the news and what's happening here and what's happening there and checking into this business and that business and what happened in North Dakota, what happened in Britain, for example. It's allowed for him to scroll through these sites that are lawful, right? And in the lawful manner. This is lawful for him, but would that benefit him in the hereafter? Would that benefit him in the hereafter? You understand? So then from a zuhd is to leave the likes of these affairs off. But the one who leaves off the wara' is to leave off that which he fears may harm him in the hereafter. So now he will leave off something because he's afraid if he does it in the hereafter, he'll be taken to account for it. He'll be held accountable for it. Something that he fears will be harmful for him in the hereafter. In the hereafter, if he looks at it, maybe it will lead him to be preoccupied. Well, maybe if he opens it, maybe it will lead him to look at something that's haram, for example. to look at something that's haram, for example, or if he takes this particular occupation, he's going to be mixing and the likes like this, and it's going to lead him maybe to be tempted and tried by women. We have been warned from that. So maybe he would choose not to take that avenue or go down that road or to sign that contract or to partake in that occupation or to do that deal and the likes like this, or to accept that phone call or to respond to that text, so on and so forth, because he's afraid that maybe it will lead to harm in the hereafter. Allah knows best. The one who leaves that which may harm him in the hereafter, no doubt this is a high and lofty level, a high and lofty status. But more inclusive and greater than that is the one who leaves off on top of that which will not bring any benefit. So the one who is zahid, he's already reached the level of wara' and in addition. He has reached the level of wara', leaving off that which is harmful. Rather, not only does he leave off that which is harmful, rather he leaves off other things likewise that will not bring about any benefit. So the one who stays away from that which will not bring him benefit, then no doubt he's going to avoid that which is harmful. So the zahid is a level higher. He's a level higher. After leaving off that which is forbidden, he will also leave off other things that maybe are lawful, but they're not beneficial in the hereafter. They're not beneficial in the hereafter. Or maybe even there will be things that are lawful and are initially not beneficial in the hereafter, but because of his strong piety and love for Allah Azza wa Jal, he will turn them into actions that are pleasing to Allah with a beautiful and good intention. For example, somebody who is playing ball, for example. He's playing basketball with his friends and the likes like this. Initially, this is something that is not going to benefit him in the hereafter. That's not going to benefit him in the hereafter. But if he intends to play ball, for example, with the intention to strengthen his body and to exercise, to be strong so he can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be healthy, and likewise as a means during the game to control the brothers, to keep them in line and to remind them of Allah Azza wa Jalla and to have fun and enjoy the game and the likes like this in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, so on and so forth, reminding them of Allah even while they're enjoying themselves or exercising and the likes like this. Now he has a good intention. Now he has a good intention and he's bringing benefit to himself and to others. Bringing benefit to himself and to others. He has the intention to exercise or to play the game and the likes like this in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, and help others likewise do that and remind them and to direct them. When people get out of line or they say something that's not correct or their aura becomes exposed, which may be common sometimes in the likes of these games, he'll be the one to remind them. He'll come with this intention. I'm going to come and play, but at the same time, I'm going to establish my religion and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remain in the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and intend to relieve my soul and take it easy so that I can go back studying, working hard, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling the rights of my religion. So this person now, he turned this recreation into a means of seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So initially something that will not benefit him in the hereafter, but with this knowledge of the intention and that which is pleasing to Allah, and the limits prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can turn it into a means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So in any case, the issue of zuhud and wara', these are from those beautiful terms that a believer, he will strive to obtain in his life and to reach that level, the level of zuhud and the level of wara', and the level of taqwa and the level of istiqamah and the level of khawf and raja and mahabba and the likes like this, khushu' wa khashya, ragba wa rahba. All of these are from these levels in the religion that a person, he must strive to reach in his servitude and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we continue reading. The author says, qala al-imamu ibn al-qayyim rahimahullah. Al-imam ibn al-qayyim, he says, may Allah have mercy on him, لا تتم الرغبة بالآخرة إلا بالزهد في الدنيا. That desiring the hereafter cannot be achieved except through renunciation of the worldly life. There's no way to truly have ragba, fervent desire and hope for the hereafter except by having renunciation of the worldly life, except by having a zuhd. The person who is truly desiring the home in the hereafter and the pleasure of Allah, then he will turn away from the worldly life, meaning that he will not be tempted and tried by the worldly life, and he will not fall short in performing the obligations, nor would he violate the prohibitions. So desiring the hereafter cannot be achieved except through renunciation of the worldly life. He says, Rahimahullah, وَلَا يَسْتَقِيمُ الزُّهُدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا بَعْدَ نَظَرَيْنِ صَحِيحَيْنِ. And the renunciation of the worldly life cannot be achieved except through two correct perspectives. And you have to look from two aspects. You have to look at life and these affairs from two aspects. He says, نَظَرٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَسُرْعَةِ زَوَالِهَا وَفَنَائِهَا وَاضْمِحْلَالِهَا وَنَقْصِهَا وَخِسَّتِهَا وَعَلَمِ الْمُزَحَمَةِ عَلَيْهَا وَعَلَمِ الْمُزَحَمَةِ عَلَيْهَا وَالْحِرْصِ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا فِي ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْغَصَصِ وَالنَّغَصِ وَالْأَنْكَادِ. He said, reflecting the first one, the first reflection or the first realization, a person he must look in order to truly have renunciation and abstinence in the worldly life, reflecting on the nature of this worldly life, its swift passing, transience, and eventual demise, along with its deficiencies and baseness, the pains of competing for it and the relentless pursuit of it, and the inevitable bitterness, troubles, and hardships that it brings. Any person, he must look at the true nature and reality of this worldly life, how it does not last, rather it goes away quickly, and it's passing. It's a passing enjoyment, and no matter how much one partakes, then it's definitely going to leave and going to pass, and the delights that do not last forever. And many times a person, in order to obtain some of these delights, he has to go through great hardships and difficulties, pain, heartache, and delights like this, and go through troubles just trying to please or enjoy himself in this life. He says, وَآخِرُ ذَلِكَ الزَّوَالِ وَالْإِنْقِطَاعِ. And ultimately, in the end, it goes away and comes to an end. Ultimately, then, finally, after all these hardships and difficulties, it goes away, and chasing after these delights and pleasures and the likes like this, this life, it comes to an end. مَعَ مَا يَعْقُوبُ مِنَ الْحَسْرَةِ وَالْأَسِفِ. Along with what comes after that, leaving behind regret and sorrow. فَطَالِبُهَا لَا يَنْفَكُّ مِنْ هَمٍّ قَبَلَ حُصُولِهَا وَهَمٍّ حَالَ ظَفْرِ بِهَا وَغَمٍّ وَحُزْنٍ بَعْدَ فَوَاتِهَا فَهَذَا أَحَدُ النَّظَرَيْنِ So ultimately this life, it goes away. It goes away and comes to an end, leaving behind regret and sorrow. The seeker of this worldly life is never free from worry before obtaining it, distress while possessing it, and grief and sadness after losing it. This is one of the two perspectives. And a person who is he has a strong lust and desire for this worldly life, it will overwhelm him and overcome him. It will overwhelm him and overcome him and captivate his thoughts and his mind. And that's all that he will think about. How he's going to obtain the next dollar or the likes, whatever his eye is on and from the worldly affair. He's thinking about it, he's worrying about it, he's plotting on it, so on and so forth. How he's going to get it, how he's going to obtain it. And then whenever he actually obtains it, he's worried that he's going to lose it, or something's going to happen to it, and the likes like this. So he's never truly satisfied, and he's never truly content and happy. And then if he happens to lose it, now he's stressed and in great grief and sorrow. And this is the reality of this life. He says, النظر الثاني, the second perspective, النظر في الآخرة, that a person must reflect on the hereafter. وإقبالها ومجيئها ولا بد. In reflecting on the hereafter, its advancement and inevitability. Any meaning that it's going to come. لا بد. It's going to come and that's it. It's inevitable. It is inevitable. It's going to come. ودوامها وبقائها. And likewise, its permanence in eternity. So you ponder and reflect over the hereafter. It's advancing. The hereafter is coming. Every day, every night, every step, every breath is closer to al-qiyamah. Al-qiyamah al-sughra, the minor resurrection. I need the death of every person. It's drawing nearer and closer daily. وَلَا بُدَّ. And this is a must that one cannot escape. And likewise, the hereafter, it remains and it's everlasting. وَشَارِفِ مَا فِيهَا وَشَارَفِ مَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَالْمَسَّرَّاتِ وَالتَّفَاوُتِ الَّذِي بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا هُنَا. The second perspective, reflecting on the hereafter, its advancement and inevitability, its permanence and eternity, and the honor of the goodness and joys it contains, and reflecting also on the stark contrast between it and this worldly life. And he reflecting on the contrast, the difference between this life and the worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ, as Allah the Almighty, he says, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى, but the hereafter is better and more everlasting. But the hereafter is better and more everlasting. The delights in this life are nothing in comparison to the delights of the hereafter. And the sorrows and agonies and the harms of this life are nothing compared to the sorrows and the agonies and the trials in the hereafter. The sorrows and the agonies and the pains and griefs and the trials of this life are nothing compared to that which is in the hereafter. Are nothing compared to that which is in the hereafter. So he says, فَهِيَ خَيْرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ دَائِمَةٌ. So the hereafter is full of complete everlasting blessings. وَهَذِهِ خَيَرَاتٌ نَاقِصَةٌ مُنْقَطِعَةٌ مُضْمَحِلَّةٌ. And while this worldly life, the hereafter is full of complete everlasting blessings. While this worldly life consists of incomplete, fleeting, and perishable illusions. Any illusions, any in one's minds, خَيَرَات, خَيَرَات, illusions that a person he is thinking of in his mind is not real, it's not everlasting. فَإِذَا تَمَّ لَهُ هَذَانِ النَّظَرَانِ آثَرَ مَا يَقْتَضِيهِ الْأَقْرُ إِثَارَهُ وَزَّهِدَ فِي مَا يَقْتَضِيهِ الزُّهْدُ فِيهِ. And when one adopts these two perspectives, they will favor what reason dictates to be preferred and abstain from what reason dictates to be renounced. And abstain from what reason and a sound mind dictates to be renounced. And a person, whenever he ponders over these affairs properly, this will lead the person with the sound mind to choose that which takes precedence, that one that's everlasting, the joy that's everlasting and never ending, over the joy that's brief and followed with hardship and sorrow. So the hereafter is everlasting, is everlasting. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى, but the hereafter is better and more lasting. So the sound mind will say, then you be patient and seek the everlasting pleasure over this brief enjoyment that is a deception and illusion. وذكر نحو هذا المعنى في موضع آخر. يعني this was the end of the statement of Ibn Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى. So the Shaykh, he says, وذكر نحو هذا المعنى, وذكر نحو هذا المعنى في موضع آخر, وزاد عليه أمرا ثالثا. And he mentioned Ibn Qayyim رحمه الله a similar meaning as this one in another place, and in some other works, with an additional clarification of a third matter. وزاد عليه أمرا ثالثا. فقال والذي يصحح هذا الزهد ثلاثة أشياء. And he said that which strengthens and validates this detachment from the worldly life, the zuhd, are three things. أحدها علم العبد أنه ظل زائل وخيال زائر وأنها كما قال الله تعالى فيها واعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما. And the first perspective here, that one he must observe in order to correct the issue of az-zuhd and traverse upon it properly, the servant's awareness that this world is a fleeting shadow, that this world is like a fleeting shadow. And a shadow, whenever it comes, the shadow it will grow as the sun rises. And then it will come to a point where it goes away. It goes away. So the shade, it does not last. The shade will come and it will be there for some time. And maybe it will even grow for a period. And then it will start to slowly fade away until it's gone in entirety. So this is what he's saying here. So that what he must realize, that this world is a fleeting shadow and a passing illusion. And as Allah, the Exalted, he says about it, know that the life of this world is but amusement and diversion and adornment and boasting to one another and competition and increase of wealth and children. Like the example of rain, whose resulting plant growth pleases the tillers. أعجب الكفار نباتو. الكفار هنا الزراع. The farmers. The farmers, they're called kufar, because the meaning of kufr is a satr. And the farmers, they take the seed and they plant it in the ground and cover it. And the kafir, likewise, he takes the seed of the fitrah and he covers it in disbelief and denial and rejection. They have a resemblance here in the original meaning of this word. So the kufar, the farmers, they're amazed. They're amazed whenever they see these crops, they grow and they produce great fruits and they have harvest and the likes like this. And likewise, the disbelievers as well, they're amazed whenever they see the delight of this worldly life, and they're overwhelmed by that as well. يُعْجِبُ الْكُفَارُ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَيَكُونُ مُصْفَرًّا. Like the example of rain whose resulting plant growth pleases the tillers, and then it dries and you see it turn yellow. Then it becomes scattered debris. Then it becomes scattered debris. This is the example of this life. This is the example of this life. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Almighty, He says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا وَزَيَّنَتْ وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَن لَّمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah, He mentions the Almighty in the meaning of this noble verse, verily the likeness of this worldly life is that of water, rain which we send down from the sky. So by it arises the intermingled produce of the earth, the crops and the plants and the likes, of which men and cattle eat from, until when the earth is clad in its adornments and is beautified, and until it grows and it flourishes and is beautiful and is delightful, and the likes like this. And its people think that they have all powers of disposal over it, and they're ready to do what they like, to harvest and to spend and to enjoy and to follow their desires. Our command reaches it by night or by day, and it will make it like clean mown harvest. And Allah will send, whenever Allah decrees, it will be destroyed. It will go away. It will be destroyed. It will go away. It will not last. It will not end. The command of Allah will come, and that affair will cease to exist, as if it had not flourished yesterday. Thus do we explain the ayat in detail for people who reflect. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High, He says, وَضْرِبَ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. And Allah, He mentions in this noble verse the meaning of which is, and put forth for them the example, the parable of the life of this world. It is like water, meaning rain, which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingles with it. It becomes fresh and green. حُلْوَةٌ خَاضِرَةٌ. But later it becomes dry and broken into pieces, which the wind scatters and throws it everywhere and does away with it. The wind scatters and does away with it. And Allah is able to do all things. So here He says now, وَسَمَّاهَا عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَتَاعَ الْغُرُورِ. And Allah the Exalted has described this worldly life as an enjoyment of delusion. وَسَمَّاهَا عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَتَاعَ الْغُرُورِ. Yani an enjoyment of delusion. Yani a deceiving enjoyment. وَنَهَا عَنِ الْاِقْتِرَارِ بِهَا. And Allah has also forbade us from being deceived and tricked by it. وَأَخْبَرَنَا عَنْ سُوءِ عَقِبَةِ الْمُقْتَرِّينَ بِهَا. And Allah has informed us likewise of the foul outcome of those who are deceived by it. وَحَذَّرَنَا مِنْ مِثْلِ مَصَارِعِهِمْ. And Allah has warned us from falling into what they have fallen into and being overcome from what they were tried by. فَذَمَّ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِهَا وَاطْمَأَنَّ إِلَيْهَا. And Allah has blamed greatly those who are pleased with this worldly life and they're content with that. And meaning they suffice with that. Meaning they suffice with that and find great comfort and are inclined to that, any meaning, until the extent that they have forgotten the hereafter. وَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The author says, and the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, he said, مَا لِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا. What attachment do I have to this worldly life? What kind of love and attachment do I have for this worldly life? إِنَّمَا أَنَا كَرَاكِبٍ قَالَ فِي ظِلِّ شَجَرَةٍ ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَاكَهَا. I am only like a rider who rests under the shade of a tree. Then he departs and leaves it behind. قَالَ يَعْنِي اسْتَظَلَّ. قَالَ يَعْنِي اسْتَظَلَّ. نَامَ قَلِيلًا فِي ظِلِّ شَجَرَةٍ ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا. I'm only like a rider, any a traveler, somebody who's on a journey. مَالِي وَلِي الدُّنْيَا. What kind of attachment do I have with the worldly life? What kind of attachment do I have with the worldly life? I'm like a rider, meaning a traveler who's on a journey. إِنَّمَا أَنَا كَرَاكِبٌ. إِنَّمَا أَنَا كَرَاكِبٌ. قَالَ فِي ظِلِّ شَجَرَةٍ. Some word is ظَلَّ تَحْتَ ظِلِّ شَجَرَةٍ. And he took rest, yani under the shade of a tree. He took rest under the shade of a tree. And a person, he's traveling, he's on a journey, sometimes he takes a rest and then he moves on, and then he moves on. He doesn't take the rest stop as a residence and build a home there. He doesn't take the rest stop as a residence and build his home there. Rather, the rest stop is a rest stop. He stops for a moment to rest and to get strength and take provision, and then he heads out. He makes the preparations that he needs. He rests for a moment. He gets ready and prepared, and then he heads out on the journey, hoping to meet the final destination. So this is the example here. ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا. Then he left it. And then he got up and left. And left that tree. So this is the example of this life. This life is like the shade of a tree. It's passing. The shade, as has preceded, it's passing. It does not last. Pretty soon, the tree is going to be uprooted. And it's going to be gone. This life is going to go away. And we also are going to go away. So there's no need to be attached to it. Madi walid dunya. Why should I be attached to the worldly life? What attachment do I have to the worldly life? I'm not going to live here forever. It's not going to last forever. I'm not going to live forever. This life is not going to last forever. I'm going to die. This world is going to go away. So why would I dedicate myself to it and then devote my life to this worldly life that's passing and going away, and I don't know when I'm going to leave, and it could be soon. So he says, وَفِي الْمُسْنَدِ عَنْهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ حَدِيثٌ مَعْنَاهُ. And in the Musnad, meaning by Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى, there's a narration. The meaning of the narration here is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ طَعَامَ بِنِي آدَمَ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ مِثَالًا لِلدُّنْيَا. That in a hadith, that indeed Allah has made the food of the son of Adam and what comes out of him an example of this worldly life. This is the example of this worldly life. In this narration, the example of this worldly life is the food that we eat. And then whenever it's finished, it comes out. So no matter how much season and salt you put on it, and how tasty it is, in the end, you know what comes out. In the end, this is the result. This is the example of this life. فَإِنَّهُ وَإِنْ قَزَّحَهُ وَمَلَّحَ فَلْتَنْظُرْ إِلَى مَاذَا يَصِيرُ. Even if it is well seasoned in flavor, just look to what it turns into. So in the beginning, it tastes sweet and delightful, mashallah, alhamdulillah. In the end, this is the result. So likewise, this life. Initially, it's delightful and pleasant, but in the end, it's a bad outcome for those people who are heedless, and those people who are distracted, and those people who are overcome by desires and the whispers of the devil. So he says, فَمَقْتَرَّ بِهَا وَلَا سَكَنَ إِلَيْهَا إِلَّا ذُو هِمَّةٍ دَنِيئَةٍ وَعَقْلٍ حَقِيرٍ وَقَدْرٍ خَسِيسٍ. And no one is deluded by this worldly life or is inclined to it except a person with lowly aspiration, a meager intellect, and a petty nature, any low status. Low status and base desires. And he's satisfied for the animal life. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. الثاني, he says, الثاني, إِلْمَنْ أَنَّ وَرَأَهَا دَارًا أَعْظَمُ مِنْهَا قَدْرًا وَأَجَلُّ خَطَرًا وَهِيَ دَارُ الْبَقَاءِ وَهِيَ دَارُ الْبَقَاءِ وَأَنَّ نِسْبَتَهَا إِلَيْهَا كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَاللَّهِ مَا الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مِثْلُ مَا يَجْعَلُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِصْبَعَهُ هَذِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِمَا تَرْجِي. The second is realizing that beyond this world lies an abode far greater in value and significance, and is the eternal everlasting abode. The comparison between this world and the hereafter is as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned, by Allah, the messenger, pay attention to this narration, by Allah, wallahi ma ad-dunya fil akhirah illa mithlu ma yaj'alu ahadukum isba'ahu hadhihi fil yam. I swear by Allah that the worth of this world in comparison to the hereafter, is like the amount of water on one of you. It's like the amount of water one of you can collect on their finger after dipping it in the sea. فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِمَا تَرْجِي. So let him see how little returns. And let him see how much he brings back.
فَالزَّاهِدُ فِيهَا بِمَنْزِلَةِ رَجُلٍ فِي يَدِهِ دِرْهَمٌ زَغَلْ قِيلَ لَهُ اِطْرَحُ وَلَكَ عِوَضُهُ مِيَةُ أَلْفِ دِنَارٍ مَثَلًا فألقاه من يده وجاء ذلك العوض فالزاهد فيها لكمال رغبته فيما هو أعظم منها زاهد فيها.
So the one who renounces this world is like a man holding a counterfeit coin, and he is told, discard it, get rid of it, and you will receive in exchange and you will receive and exchange 100,000 gold coins. So he discards it and takes that offer. The one who renounces this world does so out of complete desire for what is greater than it. So he turns away from it, turning away from the worldly life. So this worldly life is like this, a counterfeit enjoyment, a counterfeit, any false delusion. It doesn't last. It doesn't last, but the hereafter is real. The true life is the life of the hereafter. The everlasting life is the life of the hereafter. So he says now, rahimahullah, الثالث معرفته أن زهده فيها لا يمنعه شيئا كتب له منها وأن حرصه عليها لا يجلب له ما لم يقضى له منها. The third thing a person must realize is understanding that renouncing this worldly life does not prevent one from obtaining what has been decreed for him, and that striving for it does not bring them what has not been decreed for them. Any of the decree is the decree of Allah, and the command is the command of Allah. So a person has to suffice with the limits that Allah has set and seek His provision in the lawful manner and not go beyond that and not strive too hard in extremes and extravagance in the likes like this, because it's not going to increase. It's not going to increase. He's going to get what's written for him. He's going to get what's written for him. No doubt a person, he has to take the means. But here a person, he should not go to extremes or extravagance or fall into haram and that which is forbidden, think he's going to bring him better. Thinking it's going to bring him more or bring him better from the worldly life. So he says, فَمَتَّ تَيَقَّنَ ذَلِكَ وَصَارَ لَهُ بِهِ عِلْمٌ يَقِينٌ هَانَ عَلَيْهِ زُهْدُ فِيهَا فَإِنَّهُ مَتَّ تَيَقَّنَ ذَلِكَ وَثَرِجَ لَهُ صَدْرُهُ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ مَضْمُونَهُ مِنْهَا سَيَأْتِي بَقِيَ حِرْصُهُ وَتَعِبَهُ وَكَدَّهُ ضَائِعًا وَالْآخِرُ لَا يَرَى اللَّهَ لِنَفْسِهِ بِذَلِكَ. So when a person becomes certain of this and gains firm knowledge of it, renouncing this world becomes easy for them. For when a person is certain of this and their heart is at ease with it, knowing that what is destined for them will come to them, their effort, struggle, and hardship for worldly matters becomes futile. And a person is going to work so hard and strive in these great extremes, and in the end he's only going to get what's written for him, then now he's wasting his time and wasting his effort. Rather stop striving and so hard and just fear Allah and establish the religion, and the dunya will come to you. The dunya will come to you. Make Allah and the pleasure of Allah your intention and your aim and your goal, and work for that, and then inshallah the worldly life will come to you easily. As for a person who turns away from the pleasure of Allah, turns away from the reality of the advancement of the hereafter, and dedicates his life to this life, then in the end he's only going to get what's written for him, and he loses in the hereafter. So a person with a sound mind, he's not going to accept that. A rational person would not be content with such a state for themselves. فهذه الأمور الثلاثة تسهل على العبد الزهد فيها وتثبت قدمه في مقامه والله موفق لمن يشاء. So these three realizations make it easy for a servant to renounce this worldly life and to strengthen, and it strengthens their stance and this station. Allah, He is the one who grants success to whom He wills. So this was the end of the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. So the author, he says, أصلح الله قلوبنا أجمعين وحدانا إليه صراطا مستقيما وعادنا من أمراض القلوب وأسقامها وجمعنا على الحق والهدى إنه سميع قريب مجيب. May Allah rectify our hearts, guide us to His straight path, protect us from the ailments and diseases of the hearts, and unite us upon truth and guidance. Verily He is all hearing near and responsive. If we go back to the narration that Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Mustawrid, Wallahi ma dunya fil akhirah illa mithlu ma yaj'al ahadukum isba'ahu hadhihi falyam falyanzur bima tarji. That I swear by Allah, this worldly life compared to the hereafter is nothing except the likes of one of you placing his finger, this finger here, the pointer finger. One of the narrators in Sahih Muslim, he raised his finger like this, the pointer finger. Putting your finger into the sea, let him look what he brings back. This is such an amazing example and comparison and parable. If you look at the sea and the ocean, for example, the vastness of it. Maybe if you're standing on the shore, you cannot see the land on the other side. The ocean is vast. You don't know where it ends. You can't see where it ends. Maybe you'll travel in a ship for days and never reach the other side of the sea. Literally. That's how vast the sea is. The comparison of this life to the hereafter is taking your finger and putting it in that sea, and then pulling it out and looking to how much comes on your finger compared to that which is in the sea. Compared to that which is in the sea, it's nothing or almost nothing. It's nothing or it's almost nothing. It's literally, the comparison is almost nothing. That's the example of this life compared to the hereafter. And then, barakallah fiqh, if you reflect upon this affair, the water that does remain, although it's almost an insignificant amount, how long would it remain on your finger? How long would it remain on your finger? If it's a hot day, it won't remain but moments. If it's a windy day, it won't remain but moments. Even if the weather's nice, it won't remain but moments. It dries up quickly and goes away. So that little bitty amount that comes back in comparison to the ocean, even that amount does not last but a moment. That's the comparison to this life. That's the comparison to this life. We didn't stay in this life except for a moment, a day or a night. That's how they think. And hereafter, you think that it was only alive for an afternoon or a morning time compared to the hereafter. So this life, it doesn't last. So why work for this life? Mali wa dunya. You don't work for this life. You work for the hereafter. You work for the hereafter. You take this life as a means to reach the hereafter. And whatever you get from this life is a provision for the hereafter. So one, he will not work and strive for this life, rather he work and strive for the everlasting life and take his provision from this life. Take what he can from that which is lawful and permissible and enjoy himself in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla in this life in preparation for the hereafter, the everlasting life, the everlasting true life. So this is the way of a believer, the one who is wise. He sees with the eyes of faith. He understands these affairs. He understands the reality of this life, and that is not going. It's not going to last. That is not going to last. So therefore, he will prepare for that inevitable meeting. He will prepare for the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which no one can escape. Which no one can escape. The meeting with Allah Azza wa Jalla, al-Wahid al-Qahar, wa-barahu, wa-barazu lillahi al-Wahid al-Qahar. After this, the author mentions chapter number 9, Taharatul Qulub, the purity of the hearts. Inshallah, we take this in our class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.